Thank you so much, Pastor Chris, and it is great to be able to be here with you all. Wausau Bible Church, as Pastor Chris mentioned, we go way back, because he's old, I'm not, Pastor Chris was one of six youth pastors that I had, and I don't know if it was me or the church or I don't know what it was, one every year, and it's been really great just to be able to spend some time with Pastor Chris and see Julia again and to meet the kids, which I don't think I've met any of them before. And just to be able to be here with you all, appreciate so much this ministry. And as Pastor Chris mentioned, I serve with an organization called IBL, the Institute of Biblical Leadership. And we travel around the world helping pastors and church leaders, ministry leaders, with coaching, consulting, counseling, and training. We do international training. We're in countries like Kenya and Tanzania, Uganda, Ecuador, India, Vietnam. And then we serve a wide variety of churches here in the U.S., helping them through challenging times, helping them through proactive times, and just coming alongside of God's leaders, helping them to take the next steps they need in order to be who God has led them to be. I'm also part of IFCA. I think Chris and I joined IFCA around the same time. We have very similar roots and a very similar trajectory. It's really fascinating to see how God has kind of led us both in a very similar direction. And so joined the IFCA in 2013, and I pastored an IFCA church in Michigan on the southeast side of Grand Rapids for 7 years before joining IBL. And we moved to South Carolina where there's no snow, so it's very nice. And so we're happy to be there and happy to be able to be part of IFCA. Appreciate Pastor Chris has served as the president of the regional for the last couple of years. One of the things that I do as a volunteer for IFCA is I kind of oversee all of the presidents, and there's 41 regionals, and so Pastor Chris has been one of them that has led here in the Wisconsin regional. So appreciate his leadership and looking forward to our time this week with the rest of the members of the IFCA regional here in Wisconsin. This morning, we're going to be looking in the book of Romans, chapter 15. I understand that this is your mission emphasis month, and so we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that probably no missionary would preach themselves because it might sound self-serving, but if all of the missionaries that you support could preach, could speak in a way that they felt vulnerable enough to do so, they would probably want to share this text with you. As Pastor Chris mentioned, my wife and I guess he asked me to tell about my family, and not that I don't care about them, but sometimes I'm more down to brass tacks of doing the work. Let me tell you about my family. I have a wife and three kids. Our oldest is a junior in college. Our middle son is a junior in high school. And then our daughter is a freshman in high school. And my wife and I, actually felt the Lord leading us to Italy as missionaries in 2006. We left. I was a youth pastor in Farmington, New Mexico, and we left there and began the process of raising support to go to Italy to work with a group of missionaries there. And in 2.5 years that God had allowed us to raise support, our middle son, Andrew, was actually born 2 weeks before we left Farmington. If you know anything about traveling with a two-week-old, that's probably not ideal to go on deputation and to live out of a van, but we did that. And 2.5 years we raised support. And our son had some serious health issues that would not allow us to continue to travel and continue to go. And so in one day, we gave up all that support that we had raised, 70-some percent of our support, and just trusted God to lead us wherever he wanted to, and he has faithfully led us. So we were very active, very involved, very engaged in a mission endeavor of raising support to move overseas. And so when we look at this particular text of Scripture, a lot of this will resonate with me because I can understand and appreciate those that serve and minister, especially in an overseas capacity. Some of you may have family members that are serving in this capacity. Some of you may have friends or acquaintances that you are familiar with that serve in some capacity as a missionary. And this is Paul laying out his heart for, here is what I wish you knew, here is what I wish you would do, here is how I wish you would pray for us. And so that's the heart of what Paul is addressing here in Romans chapter 15. And we're going to look specifically down to verse 30 through verse 33. And the context that leads us into this is really Paul sharing his heart about ministry and about what's happening and where he's planning to go and what he's wanting to do. And Paul is just kind of, he's just kind of revealing to us, here's the challenges and here's the things I'm thinking about and here's what I'm processing through. I would entitle this An Invitation to Fight. If you knew my mom at all, she would tell me that, David, that's probably not an appropriate topic to speak about because we need to get along and we need to be at peace and we don't need to have conflict. My mother is the ultimate peacemaker. But an invitation to fight is what Paul is actually requesting of us. Not to fight one another. He speaks about that at the beginning part of Romans chapter 15. If you look at verses 1 through 5, he's going to communicate how our unity as the body of Christ leads us actually to furthering the proclamation of the gospel. So as Paul is going to get into using some of the words that he uses and some of the things that he addresses here, he's actually asking us to come alongside and fight alongside of him. We know from his writings that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, he said that there are fightings that happen without. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he tells us to fight the good fight. So Paul has addressed in his writings this idea and this notion of fighting and wrestling as he communicates to us in Ephesians 6, 12. We wrestle against these rulers and authorities and powers that are there. And then we know from Colossians 1, 28 through 29, where Paul reminds us, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And then he uses this phrase, for this presentation of people into maturity in Christ, for this I toil and I struggle, I fight to do this. This is an effort, this is a work. This is a challenge. He says, for this, verse 29 of Colossians 1, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So Paul is reminding us here in these passages that those of us who are believers are entering into not passivity, but an active role in fighting and laboring and working and wrestling against the power that is at work in this world, which is the power of Satan. And Paul says we are to be working together and fighting together and striving together and engaged together in this battle and in this fight. Paul uses this idea here in Colossians 1 to remind us of fighting in a physical location. Wherever you are, be fighting, be toiling, be struggling, be working, be laboring. He uses the Greek word there, soon agonizomai. Greek won't help you pay your bills on Friday, but it will help us understand what Paul is actually trying to communicate. Because the word there that he uses, agonizomai, really is where we get this idea of agonizing over something. Having this weight and having this agony and having this burden on us. And so Paul has been communicating those things. But we come to Romans chapter 15, verse 30, and it says this, and I'll be using the ESV this morning, but Romans chapter 15, verse 30, he says this, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Paul is asking us, he's asking specifically here the church at Rome, but he is asking us as believers, would you enter into this issue of striving together with me? Paul is going through the difficulties of his missionary journeys. He's going through the difficulties of serving in ministry. He's going through the difficulties of all the things that are happening, and he's asking the church there, would you strive together with me? Would you agonize? He uses the same Greek word here in Romans 15:30 that he used in Colossians 1:29. For all this, presenting people mature in Christ, I toil and I struggle, I agonize. And now he's saying, would you all strive together with me, soon agonizomai, agonizers together? Would you agonize with me? Would you strive together with me? Would you labor together with me? Paul is asking us to enter into this spiritual fight. Well, what is the spiritual fight that Paul is asking us to enter into. The spiritual fight is world evangelism, and prayer is the means by which we join that fight. It's probably safe to say that none of you really imagine or think about yourselves in terms of being a missionary. We can spend hours and days talking about why that's not actually true, how those that live in other places think about this as the ends of the earth. You all have been called here to Wausau, Wisconsin, or this area. You all have been called to proclaim the gospel. You all have been called to faithfully preach Christ. So we can conclude then that all of us, in essence, have been called by God to proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost and fallen world. So regardless of our geographical location, we can all argue that we are missionaries for the cause of Jesus Christ. But in the American church model, how have we defined a missionary? We've defined a missionary as somebody who uproots themselves from one location, moves preferably overseas, and lives in another location. That's a missionary. And we set upon those people certain expectations. We set upon those people the expectation that they're going to be faithful to preach Christ. They're going to be faithful to engage in discipleship. They're going to be faithful in telling their neighbors about Jesus Christ. They're going to be faithful in doing all sorts of things. And we expect of them that at least once a quarter, if not every other month, and maybe if they're really great, every month, they're going to write us a letter and tell us what they're doing. Because we have expectations of them. Well, why do we have expectations of them? In part, we have expectations of them because we've given them some money, $100 a month, $200 a month, maybe $300 a month. We've given them that money, and we say, in return for this, we expect to hear this. And Paul is going to take this missionary concept that has pervaded America, and in his time and in his way, he's going to flip it on its head, and he's going to say, wait a minute, this isn't about you and me. This is about us. This isn't about you get to stay home and you get to do your thing and I have to go over there and I have expectations that you don't have. Paul wants us and encourages us and challenges us with this idea that we are all in this fight together. For 2.5 years, my family traveled around the country. We did 150 churches and 125,000 miles between 2006 and 2009. We did every song and pony dance you could imagine in front of churches to try to get support. I'm not trying to be cynical, but it's sometimes the reality. My wife can play the piano, I could preach, and our kids apparently were cute at the time. I don't know if they are now, but they were cute at the time. And so people thought, well, of course we should support the Dietz family. Why? Well, because Kimberly plays the piano. Okay. Well, Dave can preach. Okay. Their kids are cute. Okay. In the 150 churches that we had that we presented our work to, only two churches asked me, Dave, how do you intend to reach Italians for the cause of Jesus Christ? That's it. Nobody really seemed to care what I was planning to do. We had all of the things that we could do. We had all of the show that we could present to the church, and that was the criteria. I don't know anything about Wausau Bible Church, so I'm not assuming that that's the case of the way it is here. But this is what Paul wants us to be clear about. This is what he's asking us to do. And he's going to ask us to do three things when it comes to praying and engaging with our missionaries. He's going to ask us to do three different things as he looks at this. As you look at verse 30, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together, agonize together with me, how? In your prayers to God on my behalf. Well, what are we supposed to agonize about? What are we supposed to be engaging about? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, verse 31, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. What does any missionary worth their weight, and again, we'll use that term in the traditional concept of a missionary, but what does any missionary worth their weight want you to pray about for them? How do they want you to strive together with them? Here's how oftentimes prayers for missionaries go. Father, we thank you for the Smith family. We thank you that they've decided to go to France as missionaries. And Father, would you just be with them and provide their needs and help them and be with their kids, and amen. Well, why do we pray that way? And some of you may have immense prayer lives and you may have immense engagement with Christ and the Holy Spirit in prayer. And so please don't be offended if your prayer life is what is described here. But for many Christians, our prayer and of engagement in world evangelism with our missionaries who serve around the world is really nothing more than those types of prayers. But Paul lays out for us, here's some things that we really want you to know. Here's some things that we really want you to be aware of. Here's some things that we really want you to engage with us, to agonize together with us. So what does Paul want us to pray for? Well, first of all, verse 31, he says, please pray that I would be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. Missionaries, people involved in world evangelism, want you to pray that they would be delivered from Satan's attacks. You say, okay, well, I could pray for that. Father, please deliver them from Satan's attacks. Have we accomplished what Paul is really trying to drive to? Have we accomplished what Paul is really asking us? If we just stop and say, well, Father, I pray today that you would be with all the missionaries that Wausau Bible Church supports, and please help them to be delivered from Satan's attacks. Amen. No, that's actually not the heart of what Paul is saying. It's not some generic prayer. It's specific. Because we're engaged with them, we're involved in them, we're looking at the realities of what they're facing. We can look across the world and see the attacks that are happening to our brothers and our sisters that are around the world. There's a number of things that are happening. In fact, if you're wise and you're thinking ahead, you can actually look around the world and say it is actually only a matter of time before what they're facing is what we're facing. Missiology has sometimes allowed us to think about, well, America is this great, wonderful place that God is going to protect forever, and we're always going to be immune from these things, but that's what happens over there. The actual reality is it's coming here, and we are going to suffer, and we are going to face the persecution that our brothers and sisters have been enduring for years. And so Paul says, first of all, I'm appealing to you that you would pray that I would be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. The difficulties that they face, the persecution that they face, the heartaches that they face, the things that they go through, the trials that they go through, simply because they name the name of Jesus Christ. We can go to the gas station in Wausau, Wisconsin, and tell people that we're a Christian. We might get a crazy look, or we might get a smirk, or we might get amen. But the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters of ours around the world can't do that in some of the places where they minister. They can't do that for fear of the persecution that will come, or if they do that, it is a calculated response, it's a calculated engagement that they know will bring on them certain persecution. Paul says, I'm appealing to you, I'm praying that you would pray that I would be delivered from the unbelievers that are in Judea. Well, how do we do this? I want to make this practical and yet theological at the same time. So how do we do that? How do we pray that our missionaries would be delivered from the attacks of Satan? Well, there's a couple of different things that we can do. We can, first of all, faithfully read their updates. I'm guessing, I don't know who you support, but I am guessing there are missionaries that Wausau Bible Church supports, and I'm guessing that those missionaries send reports back to this church. I am guessing that there are people within this church who faithfully read them. I'm also guessing that there are people within this church who didn't even know that there are updates on the missionaries that this church supports. So how do we actively and pray for? How do we actively engage with missionaries that they would be delivered from the attacks of Satan? Well, first of all, we need to read their updates to know and understand what is happening, to be able to track through. Okay, this family is ministering in this country, and this is what they're saying is going on, and these are the people that they're trying to reach, and these are the people that they're engaging in their community, and I know their people, and I'm remembering their names, and I'm actually engaging with them in this process. So I know what the Smith family is doing, and I know who they're ministering to in their community, and I know what persecution they're potentially facing because I read their updates. I actually read and know what's happening in their life. And not only am I just going to read their updates, but then I'm going to write them an email because every missionary in the world has access to some form of technology, WhatsApp, email, text, whatever it may be. I'm actually going to write them. And I'm going to say, you know what? I'm Dave from Wausau Bible Church. Our church supports you. I just want you to know I am praying for you, and I'm specifically praying for these things. Do you know how shocking it would be for a missionary to have somebody write them back when they send an update out, and then not only just write them back and say, hey, I'm praying for you, but actually write them back and engage with them in the update that they wrote? That would be amazing for them. So take 5 minutes and write them an email and say, you know what? I'm praying for this person and that person that you are trying to reach. I'm praying for your family, that God would protect you. I'm praying that God would allow you to be able to see growth and to see the encouragement and to be able to engage in the community in which you live. And then, if possible, say, you know what? My wife and I, or my family, would love to come and to visit you, to be able to come and to know and to understand what you're going through, to be able to see the ministry that you have. In 2010, I believe it was, we took a group from our church in Denver, where I was associate pastor. We took them down to Argentina. Argentina is not a drastically dangerous place. It's got some issues, but we took a group from our church down to Argentina. We had two missionaries in Argentina and a missionary in Uruguay, so we were going to visit all of them. And we spent 2 days with one of our missionaries who had been there for about 30 years. I didn't know these people. They had been part of our church when I came, and we had interacted a little bit, but never really knew them. And we spent 2 days with them. It was really a sweet, sweet time, Barry and Diane. And I remember as we were getting ready to leave, here I was, that was, you know, probably 32 years old, associate pastor of a church in Denver. We were standing on the steps of a church where there was a meeting going on, and this man who was probably about 60 years old began to cry. And he said, Dave, in the 30 years we have been here, you are the first pastor who has actually come and visited us to find out about our ministry. I thought, man, that's shocking. Argentina is not a difficult place to get to. It's not a dangerous place to go to. It's not some crazy out in the middle of no place kind of place. And yet we have missionaries who are laboring and missionaries who are working and missionaries who are engaged in world evangelism in difficult places. And their question that Satan is pounding into their head is, does anybody actually care about you? And the churches that would support them would say, well, absolutely we care. Well, we give them money every month. We care. We get their updates. We care. But you have to remember what they're enduring and what they're facing and what they're going through as they labor and minister often by themselves in places that are remote, in places where they're lonely. And we have to remember, you know what, sometimes just a simple email of saying, hey, I'm praying for you, and we're praying for something specific about your family, and we love you and we care for you, is significant because of the attacks that they face, because of the things that they are enduring. And so pray for them. Pray for them as a family. Text them scripture verses that are reminding them that you are praying for them. Every Sunday morning, it happened again this Sunday, every Sunday morning for the last year, there is a pastor in Colorado, on the western slope of Colorado, who texts me every Sunday morning. Dave, I just want to let you know I am praying for you today. May God use you in whatever capacity you're serving today. I just want you to know I'm thinking about you and I want to encourage you. Do you know what that means? And I'm here in America. Sometimes we are so caught up in our own lives, in our own world, in our own things, that we think about only ourselves. And to stop and to pull up and to say, how long would it take me to WhatsApp a missionary? How long would it take me to send a quick email to a missionary? Hey, just want to let you know we're praying for you. We understand it's 7 hours ahead over there where you are. Your church service is already done today, but we just want to let you know we're thinking about you. We're praying for you. How did it go today? That is a huge encouragement, being delivered from the attacks that are happening from Satan. Second of all, Paul says, not only do I want you to pray that we would be delivered from Satan's attacks, that's not always physical persecution, it may be a lot of other things, but he says, second of all, and that my service in Jerusalem or for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. If we could modernize this a little bit, Paul is saying this, I want you to pray that I would glorify God in all that I do. May everything that I do bring honor and glory to God. Well, how do we pray for that? How do we engage with that? How do we help our missionaries? Well, there's some practical things we can do. First of all, pray that they know who God is. You can't glorify someone if you don't truly know who he is. You mean, some of you would say, well, you mean a missionary may not know who God is? Well, yes, he knows who God is, but to truly know and understand, one of the things I loved about the songs that we sing, I love worship music, because when you actually have music that is written with lyrics that help you think deeply, theologically, to see the words up on the screen makes you go, whoa. I mean, I knew about God, but just to watch words up on the screen, to think about a phrase, to think about some concept of God that, yes, we may have known about, but to actually dwell upon that and to meditate on that, to be able to engage in a way that we say, that's who God is. We need to constantly have that reminder of who God is. So pray that they would know who God is. Pray that they would only seek his approval. Pray that they would not be distracted by the empty promises of building their own empires. By the way, you can pray this for Pastor Chris, the elders here at Wausau Bible Church. Pray that he would know God. Pray that he would be able to glorify him. Pray that he would be able to seek his approval. Pray that he would not be seeking to build his own empire. These, again, we have this concept that, well, it's them that needs the prayers, and then we don't even know how to pray for them, but it's actually all of us. This is the idea of soon agonizomai, all of us agonizing together so that we can pray for one another. Pray for them to remain faithful, even though they may not have many people coming. Pray that God's Spirit would enable, embolden, and encourage them as they serve. So think about it. How do we pray for someone when we're trying to pray for them that they would glorify God? Well, pray that they would know God. Pray that they would seek God's approval. Pray that they would not be building their own empire. Pray that they would be encouraged when people don't show up or when they're particularly discouraged about things that may be happening. So Paul says, first of all, I want you to pray that I would be delivered from the attacks of Satan. Second of all, I want you to pray that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I would glorify God in all that I do. And then thirdly, he says, verse 32, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. The third thing that Paul is asking us is that they would be refreshed. Pray for the refreshment of your missionaries. Pray that they would be refreshed. Pray that they would be able to endure the attacks of Satan. Pray that they would be able to glorify God, and pray that they would be refreshed as they come. So here's the deal. Pastor Chris gets up and announces next week, so-and-so family that we've supported is going to be with us. Oh, well, that'll be fun. That'll be nice. But if you're an average congregant, sometimes you go, I guess I'll show up and I'll listen to them. But what can we do? How can we help? What can we do to refresh them? It's interesting, as Paul makes mention here, two different components. He says, first of all, we want to come to you with joy. And when we're there, we want to be refreshed. Speaking on behalf of missionaries everywhere who would never say this in a church because it's politically incorrect, not all churches bring them joy to report to. I'm sorry, but that's the reality. In 2013, I started pastoring a church in Southeast Michigan. Our church had been through a split, a fire and a merger in the 10 years before I had come. I came to that church. I had no interaction with that church prior to coming. I wasn't responsible for anything that happened prior to 2013. But you know who got some blame from missionaries because they didn't really understand and know? I did. We had a missionary family that came. They had not visited our church in quite some time, and one of our people in our church was connected to them. And they were over in the Romania, Croatia, kind of in that area. And so they came, and we took them out to lunch, and some of the missions team afterwards. And he turned to me after lunch. He said, "Dave, can I tell you something?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I absolutely did not want to come this weekend." I'm like, "Well, that's cool." Nothing makes a pastor feel better than for a missionary to say, "I did not want to be here this week." I'm like, "Okay, that's great." And he said, "You know why?" I said, "Well, I can imagine, but I don't know why." And he said, "This church has been nothing but a nightmare for the last 10 to 15 to 20 years." And he said, "We have watched it." And he said, "We have intentionally not come back here because of the mess and the chaos that has gone on in this church." But he said, "This man, one of the guys on the missions team, has been telling me that things are different. And so he said, we decided it would be okay for us to come this time." You think about the reality that here was a missionary that our church had supported for 20, 25 years who basically had to set up his own boundaries around a supporting church because it would have been too damaging to him as a missionary to be able to enter into that facility and enter into that worship service for years before that. The fact of the matter is there are missionaries who are so disappointed and so discouraged and so anxious about visiting one of their supporting churches because of the chaos that is ensuing there. So Paul says, I want to pray for two things when it deals with this. First of all, that we would come to you with joy. Wausau Bible Church, you know what one of your things you should be thinking about is when a missionary shows up, is it a joyful thing for them? Or are they sitting there with anxiety all week because, we gotta go to Wausau Bible Church? I mean, we have to. We haven't been there in like 8 years. We have to go there. Or do they come to Wausau Bible Church with, we get to go to Wausau Bible Church? Why? Because it's joyful. And I mean, I'm gonna see Bob, and I'm gonna see Steve, and I'm gonna see Mary, and I'm gonna see Susie, and they've been praying for us, and they've been writing us emails, and they've been texting us, and we cannot wait to get there. Because they're going to refresh us in the midst of our work and our labor and our ministry. The fact of the matter is there are too many missionaries who have anxiety around visiting their supporting churches because of the drama that is occurring within those churches. And they don't come with joy. They come with anxiety. So Paul says, pray that by God's will I may come to you with joy. And second of all, that I would be refreshed when we're there. To be able to be refreshed, to be able to feel the encouragement, to be able to be replenished in our spiritual souls, if you will. By saying, man, we only got a day with Wausau Bible Church, but you know what? I'll take that day over a week with somebody else. Because those people love us. Those people care for us. Those people are engaged with us. Those people are co-laborers with us together. They are soon agonizomai. They are agonizers together with us. It literally does not take much effort in today's world, today's technology, to actively engage with missionaries that serve around the world. Remember when my wife and I were on deputation, this was 2006, one of the churches that we were kind of based out of in Denver, we went to a Sunday school class in this room, and this guy kept looking at me, and it was kind of weird. I didn't know him, and he kept looking at me, and he'd look around, and he was sitting in front of me, and finally, when class was done, he said, You're Dave Dietz. I said, I am. He said, we support you. I said, you do. And he said, I have never talked to one of you before. I'm like, I don't know what that means. He said, I've never talked to a missionary. He goes, I don't even know what to do. I'm like, well, I'm pretty much just a normal person that if you just talk to me like a normal person, you probably have a good conversation. And maybe there are some of you in this room who would say, I've never done that. Well, they're just normal people who God has called to serve in another location, just like he's called you to serve in this location. And they're normal people who want to have normal conversations, who want to engage in normal ways. They've got kids that are going through difficulties, and they've got things that are happening in their family just like you have. They have financial concerns just like you do. They have political and economic issues going on just like you do. They are exactly like you. They just don't happen to live here in Wausau, Wisconsin. That's basically about the only difference. So take out your phone, download WhatsApp, send them an email, whatever it may be, and say, hey, I'm from Wausau Bible Church. I want to let you know that my wife and I or our family is burdened to pray for you, and we want to begin to let you know that we love you, we care about you, and we want to let you know that we're praying for you. You know what that means when that missionary comes home? They will be refreshed and encouraged, and they will be looking forward to coming back to visit your church and to spend time with you. That's what missionaries want. No missionary ever comes. There's like a little song and dance that happens with missions. If you're looking for support, you come and, hey, I'm Dave, and this is my wife, and these are our kids, and we're going to this country. Would you please support us? And we kind of go on our way, and we hope and pray that God lays it on their heart, that they've got some extra money somehow, and they're going to support us. And then once we are supported, we come back, and we've got 50 churches, and we've got 20 weeks. So we're in and we're out. We love you all. We're sorry. We're here. We're gone. And so that's the extent of our relationships oftentimes with churches and missionaries. And Paul says, listen, can we just stop for a second? Can we just think about this for a second? Would you pray that we would be delivered from Satan's attacks? And by the way, we'll pray for you that you are delivered from Satan's attacks. Which, by the way, if you didn't realize, missionaries are not the only ones who are being attacked by Satan. But we'll pray for you. And we'll pray that God would deliver you, and you pray that God would deliver us. And second of all, we want you to pray that we would glorify God in all that we do. And by the way, we're going to pray for you, that you would glorify God in all that you would do. And then we want you to pray that we would come to you with joy. And then when we get there, we're going to be refreshed in each other's company. It's a mutual refreshment. If you have engaged with missionaries or people that are serving in ministry, there is a mutual refreshment that occurs. Sat yesterday on Pastor Chris's deck for, I don't know, an hour. Enjoyed the beautiful weather before the winter comes, but we enjoyed the beautiful weather. It's refreshing to just sit and talk and to share and to know, dude, he's got the same things going on I've got going on. There's similar things. There's similar things happening in all of our lives. But to sit and to stop and to take some time to say, you know what, missionaries are coming and we want to be a refreshment to them. We want to engage with them. We want to help them. We want to encourage them. We want to pray for them. That's the agonizomai that Paul is talking about in verse 30 when he says, I appeal to you. This is my heart's plea to you by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to strive together with me. Striving together with our missionaries is not completed when we drop 20 bucks in the plate and say we did our job. That's helpful. Striving together is not saying, and God, please be with all the missionaries that Wausau Bible Church supports and just help them. That's helpful. God knows what they're going through. Striving together is agonize. That's the word. Soon agonizomai. Agonize together. That means I know your burdens. You know my burdens. And we are bearing each other's weight together as we go through this world. That is what your missionaries want. But they will never tell you that because that sounds self-serving. That sounds like they've got problems and issues that they can't handle. That sounds like they just aren't cut out for it. But the fact of the matter is, any missionary that Wausau Bible Church supports, if you wrote them and said, we want to pray for you for these three things, they would probably fall over. Wow, a church that wants to agonize with us. You know where that comes from? Do you know what allows that culture to permeate into our global missions? Is a culture that is permeating within our body. We are agonizers together. See, it doesn't just start with some to-do list of, let's do that for our missionaries. It actually comes out of a culture that is within a body that says, we don't just agonize for you when you're over there. We actually agonize together with one another. So Bob and Sally that sit five rows behind me, I'm agonizing with them. I'm praying that they would be delivered from Satan's attacks. I'm praying that they would be glorifying to God. And I'm praying that we could be a refreshment and encouragement to them. You can make this a legality thing. You can make this a legalism thing. Oh, another box to check. But it actually organically overflows when it is happening within the body of Christ. That's why if you look back at Romans 15, verses 1 through 5, Paul makes it abundantly clear the unity of the body, caring about one another, welcoming one another, engaging with one another, actually advances the cause of Christ in the proclamation of Christ. So Wausau Bible Church should begin now, if you haven't already, to say, how do we organically, biblically, begin to agonize together with one another? You know what that means? You have to get beyond the, hey, how are you, fine, thank you, conversations that occur within this church. And you have to be able to say, you know what, I know it's going to be vulnerable, and I don't even know if I want the answer to this, but how are you really doing? And I care about you, and I'm praying for you. And that's going to take time to develop. But when a body of Christ is soon agonizomai together, the missionaries around the world will know the difference, and you will agonize with them. And that's what God wants for us as a body. When the world comes in here and they see you guys, boy, they're agonizing together. There's something different about this. Versus when a unsaved person comes into our mix and all we do is fight and argue and have chaos, they can see that at their family reunion. But there's something unique about a body that agonizes together. And it overflows organically to all parts of the body, to the missionaries as they serve around the world. Is Wausau Bible Church a church that agonizes together internally and externally with those that God has called them to labor together with? By God's grace, by God's help, that's what he desires. And that's what we should be striving for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. For those of us that labor and minister and serve in different capacities, Father, I pray that you would help us to be mindful of those that you allow us to come in contact with. For those that maybe have spent their time and lived their lives in one specific location, Father, help them to be mindful as well of those that you have placed around them. Father, I pray for this church, this body, that you would help them by your grace, by your spirit, as Paul reminds us, for the love of Christ and the love of his spirit, that they would strive together, one with another, bearing the burdens and the weight together, agonizing together for the cause of Jesus Christ. Father, may you do a work in this body. May you do a work in this town. And may you allow those who do not know you as Savior to see the example that is here, to know that God is real, to know that God is working. And Father, may you use this body to glorify you in all that they do and say as they agonize, labor together for your honor and for your glory. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen indeed. We have been challenged very appropriately this morning, and I trust that you will respond to the working of the Spirit in your own heart and life, that this striving together will be something that you and I incorporate into our own lives, that we care for those outside of our immediate sphere of influence, and begin to connect with those here and those who are serving around this world through WBC.